Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. Hail Varsity Radio on the road today ahead of Nebraska, Minnesota. Chris Schmidt and Will Bauer back at our ESPN studios. Hope you're doing well. It is, well, there's a thaw going on, right? And how appropriate for Minnesota coming to town. Sunshine temperatures that you do not need to be a polar bear to enjoy. Get down here. We're here in the public market. Every home Nebraska basketball game. Excited to be here with Hail Varsity, just inside to the right of the ice rink, and the Papa Shot machine is up. Do you, can you shoot better than Nebraska has been? It's not a shot at them. I'm asking about your ability. You can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com and find us on Twitter, and can give us a follow at Hail Varsity at Schmidt underscore radio. We're loaded up, man. A lot of folks on site today, excited about that. So don't know when you have been able to call off work and make your way down here to the rail yard, but when you do, think of us. Come on by, get a cocktail here over at the Breezy Island, get some popcorn from our guy JR. And munch a little bit before Nebraska, Minnesota. I feel it. The seven-game losing streak comes to an end. Do you agree? Do you care anymore? Hey, plenty of time left to write a new script if you're Nebraska basketball. Are they capable of doing that? We'll dive into that. Bill Moose had the Moose show last night with the Husker Sports Network, so we'll have some thoughts on things Moose said about Coach Miles, this team, Maurice Washington, more on Maurice, and we'll get into that, and load it up. Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and Magazine going to be with us here on site in 15 minutes. We have a Mike Shewhart sighting. Shuey broke out of the pro shop, man, and we are excited to have Shuey going to be on site with us at 4:40. Andy Markowski will join us, Husker standout, and we are blessed, man, to have longtime Nebraska assistant and Hall of Fame coach Jeff Smith will be with us. Coach Smith, partner of mine for high school basketball games. Coach Smith is awesome, is knowledgeable. He was great enough to sit in with us for some NCAA tournament stuff last spring. So Coach Smith will be here as we are doing an extended show. We're here till 7:30 tonight. So Coach Smith, Jacob Padilla, and your thoughts as we get ready for Nebraska and Minnesota. We'll get into Maurice Washington, the specifics of the affidavit, the probable cause affidavit that the World Herald was able to obtain that has specifics on the text message that was sent and communicated between Maurice and the young woman. So we'll spend some time on that. I don't want to quite get so deep and heavy right now on Maurice and his future, other than Maurice will end up in California per his attorney, John Ball, and arrangements are still in progress. That will be a self-surrender. It's voluntary. It's not an arrest. That's the news this morning. And more info via the probable cause affidavit a little bit later yesterday. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. What I want to get into, though, is Scott Frost and Frosty and Bill Moose talking to the Nebraska Cornhuskers that live and love Colorado. Frost has been doing his tour a bit between Kansas City and Colorado. That tis the season for that. As Derek Peterson is on site, and Dr. Petey's hair looks marvelous. He may win today for the best hair of the Hail Varsity crew. But Frosty's talking about, let's lock up not just occasional home and homes with Big Eight schools, but let's make it a regular thing. And as a kid who grew up going to Ames on purpose once in a while, going to Lawrence, watching Calvin Jones run for 6 touchdowns as we shot incriminating evidence here, as we shot toilet paper dipped in water from the top of the Sigma Chi house when I was in 8th grade from Lawrence. We made it all the way across Main Street or whatever the Greek Street is in Lawrence. That was a blast. As a guy who went to Boulder, as a guy who loved going to Norman, always avoided Stillwater, who never went to Columbia after what happened to Little Red, I want to see Nebraska and pick a Big Eight school, do 2 years on, 2 years off, and just rotate and make that part of your non-conference. I love the fact that OU and Nebraska are going to hook up. It's the game of the century. 50-year anniversary is when they're going to get into it. I love that Nebraska and the Buffs are doing home and home, and there's more Colorado on the schedule. Whether the Buffs suck or not, it's always fun to roll out into Boulder and to blow them out early, hang on late, and watch them cry. And then with Coach Campbell and Iowa State being a really good program, somehow, some way, I'm all for playing Iowa State. I never thought I'd say that out loud, but they're a good football team. Oklahoma State's no picnic. They score about 50 a game. So let's make this a reality. Kansas State with North Dakota State coming to town and kind of taking over for Grandpa Snyder. And how about the fact that Kansas now has the Mad Hatter? You're not going to sneeze at playing Kansas or get crap for scheduling Kansas anymore, because the Mad Hatter, the dude's grazing on the hills of Lawrence right now, probably with his shirt off. All right? Bring in Derek Peterson and Dr. PDHV. Brother, thanks for coming by. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. I'm still trying to get over the grazing on the...
You know the Mad Hatter.
Shirt off.
Are you good at golf?
I'm okay.
Yeah, Mike Shuhart, the golf pro's here, and he's just... He's letting it hang. It's so pretty. White men can't jump. So it's good to see Shuey. We'll get caught up with Shuey here in a little bit. Yes, give me more Big Eight. Do you love that?
Oh,
I figure we'd start with this before we get heavy in with Maurice and before we get into what the hell happens tonight at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Do you have a pecking order? Do you have a pecking? Is it because Oklahoma and Nebraska, they won't want to hook up each year, because, I mean, OU's got to still take on Texas. They still got to take the Big 12's not a piece of cake, and then you rematch whoever's worth a damn,
right,
for the championship game again.
Yeah, so, if Nebraska gets up and running like everybody expects them to, I never have the mic close enough.
No, you're fine. it's okay. You're good.
You're not going to want – none of those Big 12 teams are going to want a non-conference opponent, especially somebody like OU who – expects to be competing for bigger and better things every year. They're not going to want that big.
Why knock yourself out?
No, because it, you know, like when I look at the having a regular non-conference guy, like a lot of teams, like you could do what Florida and Florida State do, where you'd have it at the end of the season.
Or South Carolina and Clemson.
But Nebraska's not going to do that because they have the Black Friday game that they're not going to want to give up. So you're looking at is more than likely within the first 3 weeks of the season, OU's not going to want to play Nebraska every single year in the first 3 weeks of the season.
No.
But I would love to see a rotation. You have a Big Eight opponent every single season.
It's drivable, brother.
But there's a rotation.
It's not Iowa City's your closest venue. Let's hop on a plane to Columbus. Let's find our way to Bloomington. What you do, here's what you do. In Nebraska and the Big Ten, do they open next year? Saturday night with Purdue? Soon, right?
Soon.
So you open the year with a conference game like Northwestern and Purdue did this year. You have a night game. You're either on the road or at home, and you have a good, meaningful divisional matchup. Or get outside the box and make it Ohio State-Nebraska to kick the year off. You've got more and more late September games of importance versus waiting till November, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a reality, and I think you could start the year. You kick it off with Nebraska Northwestern. You start it with Purdue Nebraska, whatever. But then week two, right? Week two, is...
Week two to me feels like a really good week to have, like, a...
Well, you're doing it with Colorado again this year.
Yeah, you are. And, you could... Let's say you wanted to add Kansas State to it, and you could make that drive to Manhattan.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of Nebraska fans in Kansas that would love that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that... maybe Moose tries to get something at Arrowhead Stadium. I don't know that they would...
That was insane.
I don't know that they would regularly do that.
That game at Arrowhead back in 98, when Nebraska played Oklahoma State, it was... God, you had Rex Ryan as the defensive coordinator, and he played the Bear defense, and Nebraska ran for like 3 yards the whole game. They had a punt return to go ahead, and Mike Brown and Bad Mother Rucker goal line stand to keep Oklahoma State from forcing overtime. But that was an insane party. That was a great time going down to Arrowhead. Me and my college buddies went with my folks. They took care of the beer tab that weekend. God love them. And we just eked out a way to you've been to Stillwater, man. If it's not...
You don't go to Stillwater.
Yeah, right. So in Oklahoma State City, we'll move it to Arrowhead. Arrowhead would be great.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun. You can get Kansas State, Nebraska. You can get Kansas, maybe.
Imagine a Nebraska-Missouri game, first time back at Arrowhead.
That would be good. The way Missouri's going right now, with probation and the fact that Ohio State and Clemson and who else? Oklahoma, they have been raiding the state of Missouri. When Pinko was there, they were putting two first-round edge rushers into the league, or a safety or an interior lineman, first or second round. Missouri had a run, right, towards the end. We're talking the Chase Daniel era and then the first foray into the SEC. But now they're a mess. They've shifted coaches, and they're two coaching movements later. They're not what they were. They're not as strong or as explosive as they were. And the rest of the world, with them being in the SEC, they're getting cherry-picked like Nebraska used to. Come in and take all their best in-state talent and take them to Lincoln or take them to Norman or, with Goodwin, take them to Clemson. I mean, Missouri's dangerous enough because they got ballers, but they just haven't been what they were.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the Missouri take. I think Iowa State, between Frost and Campbell, that dynamic.
I don't think Campbell's going to be there very long.
Isn't his buyout like $9 million?
Someone's going to pay that. He's too good a coach.
Okay, so
I don't think he'll be there for another two
seasons.
Iowa
State always finds incredible football coaches, or basketball Pollard there, and then they just end up not being able to hang on to them.
Well, Iowa State is like the king of like, hey, here's this really good coach. Let's show the world so that they can take him from us.
Well, the coach shows the world. Right?
Well, they gave him the chance. It was more what I was...
Yeah.
They give him the platform.
By winning. But no, I love this idea with Frost and Moose and making it more of a Big 8 friendly school and schedule. And this is Frost to the Denver Post. I'd love to see us, if we're going to play Power 5 non-conference game, have it be one of the old Big 8 rivals, that to the Denver Post. It's great playing teams like Colorado. And... You know what? Nebraska and Moose got it hooked up. You got Colorado in 2023 and Colorado and Lincoln in 2024. So,
well, Moose has said the same thing since he got here. I mean, one of the first times that I talked to him when he was here, he talked about they want Big 8 teams on the schedule. They're looking at Kansas State. They're looking at Kansas. They're looking at Iowa State moving forward. They want those teams on the schedule. It's a good kind of blast from the past for the fan base, for the older side of the fan base, and it's a good way to just get back and get nationally relevant games back on your schedule again. Before you, are number 5 in the country and they're coming to you for whatever game, it's a good way to be like, hey, look, Big 8 reunion.
Yeah, it's a way to help each other out. You're going to get credit for playing another Power 5. The Big 10's respected. The Big 12's respected. And I know they fall outside of the old Big 8, but, God, Nebraska fans want another crack at Texas, too. You're not likely to get A&M. Okay, you just won't. If you get A&M, it'll be in a bowl game. And I don't care for the Aggies, to be frank with you. So, not that they're bad people. I just don't get them, okay?
They have a very strange superiority complex.
Yeah. I mean, can we say Hitler Youth on the air with all their unis?
I don't know that I would say that.
Well, they weird me out.
They're very, we're one of the greatest
obsessed
football
much?
Teams of all time.
That's never won anything.
Without the... pedigree to back
that
up.
I mean, they have man, they bury Lassie or whatever Revelé is. They have their own little graveyard outside the south end zone.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the official radio station to bash Texas A&M football.
Get in line, though. Get in line.
There's a lot of people that want to do that.
No, we'll get into some basketball. Shuey's going to jump on here as he is down. We're here in the public market. We're well ahead of tip-off for Nebraska, Minnesota. You can still come down, get a beer, get some popcorn, get Papa Shot going as we have an extended show till 7:30. And can email in, give me your pick. Who do you want if you're drafting Big 8 teams to set up home and homes with? Do you want Kansas because they're supposed to be easy and it's less miles and it'd be okay to wipe the smirk off his face since he's ripping recruits from you left and right, Nebraska fans? Do you want Oklahoma? Is that something you want to go all in on and you're seeing the Sooners six times in a 10-year stretch?
Yes.
That'd be great. That's also kind of a knockout.
It's my pick.
Obviously, you know it. It'd be fun to have a glass of Barry Switzer's wine. Barry'd smuggle it up here just like the bootlegger he is. A quick timeout. We'll continue on. Hail Varsity here from the rail yard in the public market presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here in the public market, Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Wednesday in front of Nebraska and Minnesota. Derek Peterson is showing his Russell Westbrook shooting ability. That was perfect timing, man. You launched it from 17 feet beyond the arc. You got stuck between the backboard and the rim. And you're about 30%. It's a volume scoring option here. Derek Peterson, we spent some time starting the show off a little bit lighter instead of hammering down on the recent news. We touched on it on Maurice Washington, how he'll self-surrender in the probable cause affidavit that the World Herald printed with the communication between Maurice and the young woman. So we got you caught up on that. We'll get more in-depth on Nebraska, Minnesota. Longtime Nebraska assistant coach Jeff Smith is going to be on site. Andy Markowski will get caught up with this. So we'll spend plenty of time on the Gophers and Huskers. The buzz that will exist for this game depends on the number of Coors Lights you can throw down. And I'm not advocating binge drinking. But that's what will get you excited even more so for this 8 o'clock tip between a team that somehow is a game under 500 in the Big Ten and a team that is seven games under 500. We welcome in our dear friend from Wilderness Ridge. They let him out. He had a putter in each hand, and he swung his way down here to the rail yard. It's Mike Shuhart, at Mike Shuhart on Twitter. Shuey, how are you, brother?
I'm good. I mean, it's like golfing weather out there tonight.
It is. How many lessons did you give today?
I gave a few today.
So yeah, I mean, it's the February thaw. It's not going to hit 60. It might be upper 50s. We're down here in the public market. Papa Shot's going on. Another rimmed in and out by Dr. Petey. Papa Shot is alive and well, so we invite you down. Lexi's here and faking like she's enjoying herself. I'm just giving you a good time. So, Shuey, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of hoops to talk about. We got some Nebraska football to get into. We get some Moose talk. You're a guy who grew up in Nebraska. Do you have a vote on our first segment? We were spending time on the Big 8 schools that Moose and Frost would like to see scheduled regularly. Do you have a favorite place you used to go to?
Yeah, Oklahoma, man.
Wasn't it the best?
That's always a good one.
It was great because the folks were awesome. You'd have a red beer with a Sooner, and they'd break your heart up here, and you'd have a red beer with a Sooner. You'd go down there but in the John Blake era or the Captain Kangaroo era, and that was a dirty look from Derek Peterson. He mentioned Captain Kangaroo, Howard Schnellenberger, and he just shoots you a vicious look. Now, OU'd be great. That'd be a daunting task, especially in the years you're – and Nebraska may have it. I don't know what they have in 2021, 2022. But if they're playing OU and it's usually the odd years are good, meaning you have the Iowa, Northwestern, Wisconsin triumvirate in Lincoln at least. But your crossovers have been, God, they've been Michigan or Ohio State or both in some years. And then you tack on Oklahoma. I mean, it could be reminiscent of what you had 2 years ago with that schedule.
Yeah. But if your team gets what you think it's going to be and your team becomes pretty good, I mean, that's what you want. Man, you got to beat the best.
You do.
To be the best.
And I'm not fearful of that. No fear of failure, obviously, for Nebraska football. You got to get up to that point. Yeah. And you do that with players. You do that with recruits. Let's start here with Maurice Washington. And you've spent a lot of years as a coach and mentor, and it's just a tough situation. We'll leave it general.
It is. I mean, it's obviously kids, people, they do some crazy things at times, mm-hmm. and that's one of them that's really crazy. And it's like, you know, you hope that they're smart enough, mature mm-hmm. enough, that they understand what they're doing. I don't know the whole story, when it happened,
I don't think any of us know the full story.
You know, obviously it happened not just yesterday. It happened some
time ago. Before he got to Nebraska.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, obviously kids do stupid things. You know, has he learned from that? Is he remorseful? I don't think he even knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He didn't know the laws.
Sure.
That basically existed that was going to put him in the situation that he's in. Mm-hmm. He had no idea what that was, you know? So it's like, because what little I understand about it, man, he wasn't there. He didn't take the video. Mm-hmm. He didn't do any of that stuff. So by him basically just passing the video on, which was dumb in the first place.
Back to her.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
There's no way in his own mind that he thought there was anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You know, little did he know there was a lot wrong with that. You know, he's finding that out now.
I think the level of wrongness, if he sent that back to her in the way he did, is not a nice thing to do, but I don't know that he thought it meant felony.
No, I don't think he had any idea of that. So, you know, so he's a little naive, mm-hmm. a little ignorant when it comes to the ramifications that he was going to be faced with when this finally came out. So, you know, what's going to happen? That's going to be interesting to see, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and self-surrender is what's next for Maurice. Needed to get your take on that as a coach, as a mentor, as somebody that has worked with a lot of kids. Just you're there day in, day out, be it the Divot Dogs or as a Division I coach. Just kind of setting that example, but also helping folks grow up.
Yeah. See, and the other part is you, as a coach, being involved with that player, that person, you have a little different probably take on them.
They're one of yours.
And you understand them a little different than somebody from outside mm-hmm. just looking at the situation. You know, I read and hear comments about kicking him off the team and this and that. Well, as a coach, you're not looking at it the same way because you're not looking at the kid in the same light because he's different. I mean, he's, you know, again, I'm generalizing on what mm-hmm. possibly, but you know, he's come to work. He's been a good teammate. He's done all this. So it's like,
good player.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, do I just want to throw him under the bus? No, I want to do what I can to help him become better, you know, and that's what it is. You're not just a coach to make them play better at what they do. That's part of what you do. It's also you help them grow and mm-hmm. mature to be a upstanding citizen that's walking around.
Mike Schuhart's here. Derek Peterson's toweling off from his last hot shot. We'll get into some Nebraska basketball with Dr. Petey here. Next segment, Shuey, excited to have you on. You kept an eye on Nebraska basketball. Man, we've had a lot of Wednesday discussions and a lot of chats about, man, how this season started, 11-2. And then you kind of go back to that December night against Minnesota, where you're up 13, you're up 15, I think, excuse me, not just 13. You're about to bust the game open against Minnesota in December, and then it comes crashing down, and that was one of those that got away. I think that was before the Creighton game, so it wasn't quite the start of the end, but it was one of those little glimmers of doubt as a team that, okay, it can enter into your mind, and you've seen it time and time again on the road where Nebraska could have banked three or four road wins instead of being 3-10 in league. Instead, they are where they are right now, and the bright spot's been Thomas Allen. I thought the kids played really well for a half against Purdue. Thought they played their ass off. Purdue's just too much. This league is a pit of piranhas. When Michigan goes to Unhappy Valley and gets rocked.
Yeah.
They ended up losing by 6 or 8. They were down by as many as 15 in the first half. Wisconsin's been really good, but still Sparty, when you think they're teetering, they go deliver a knockout shot on the road. Duke, for the love of God, went Duke and came back
that?
Last night. Was insane.
That was crazy.
LSU finds a way to win, and Coach Cal land on a my question to you is, do you believe the noise out there about Miles, his future, do you believe that has affected this team? Can they stay away from it? Has it affected Miles? Do you think that, I mean, Bill Moos went and saw him last week, says he's there for him, was there to spend some time. He had kind words about Miles last night on his radio show, so I think there's been more activity by Moos to be there for the coach and the team, but not interfere or hover. And I like that about Moos. But is this team, I mean, there's so many different ways to go about it. We've talked a lot about them playing too tight, trying too hard. And as part of that, in reference to the uh-oh factor if we don't get to the tournament.
Well, my take on this thing is, as I've watched and seen and listened and all that, is that they're in a precarious situation because they are probably the nicest guys you'll want.
Good group.
They're a good group of kids. They're
talented
good,
group.
They're good kids. They're really good kids. You know what they say about nice people?
Finish last.
They finish last. So, I mean, they're exactly what, if you were a parent of these kids, that's who you want them to grow up to be, how you want them to act. That's how you go about representing the University of Nebraska. But you know what? There comes a point in time when you got to be a little selfish and you got to be a little nasty. So my whole thing, when I watched the Maryland game.
Here?
And I was watching on TV. And Bruno stepped on Burkhardt's chest.
Mm-hmm.
I would have punched him right in a mug. Our guy.
After you and I climbed the ladder to get to him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'd hit him in the knees first and got him down to my level.
You say knees.
That's about where I would come up to him.
That's
on.
Funny. That's
but
good.
See, that's my take, is that they're really nice guys.
And they got to lose their mind and get angry. They got to go Ari Gold and you know, with the paintball gun.
And they just don't have a nasty guy on their squad. They don't have a guy that's saying,
yeah, good. We're good at it.
Yep, this. And I'm going to take the ball and I'm going to score. They don't have anybody that does that or has that mentality. They're just super nice guys. So it's like they're great kids. As a representative of the University of Nebraska, man, that's exactly what I want.
They need to flip a switch, though, and be a little angry on court.
But when you're on the court, man, it's like you have to want what you want. Mm-hmm. You have to take what you want. And you have to fight and scratch and claw to get what you want. So, and I have another theory, too, is that when you are
save that theory.
All right.
We're up against it.
Got it.
We're down here in the public market. Mike Shewhart is here, Wilderness Ridge. Derek Peterson's here. We're down here till 7:30, an extended Hail Varsity and the Real Red Tip-Off Show. Coach Jeff Smith going to be down here. Andy Markowski will join us on the horn. We'll have thoughts from Tim Miles, Rick Pizzo on tonight's matchup. And excited to have you down. Papa Shot is here. Come see us. Get a cocktail. Enjoy yourself. Great weather. Nebraska, Minnesota, Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here down in the public market, Hail Varsity Radio. On the road, your Wednesday, just in front of Nebraska, Minnesota. We are setting up shop early as 8 o'clock tip on BTN. The amazing Kevin Kugler going to be on the call tonight. Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and Magazine is here. Golf Pro Extraordinaire Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge, is on site. A longtime Nebraska assistant in the knee era and Hall of Fame coach Jeff Smith coming up next hour. Jacob Padilla going to be by. And, yeah, man, just going to be a good old Wednesday getting ready for Nebraska and Minnesota. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Eddie Markowski, the Pride of Ord after 5. So we are loaded up. Shuey, I cut you off. We were talking about Killer Instinct, having that enforcer. There's no Bill Laimbeer on this Nebraska basketball team.
Where's Kermit Washington?
Kermit, oh man, Kermit, Kermit in the punch.
He I mean, was nasty.
Yeah, rest poor Rudy Tom Johnovich. God rest his soul. About there's no angry Kermit on this team. But I cut you off. You were going to get to another point here. We'll get into James Palmer. What needs to happen with him, with Derek Peterson? But where did I stop you short?
So as I correlate this to what I do, which is golf. Mm-hmm. So one of my things that I've seen over the years and I truly believe in is that when you are most exposed, mm-hmm. when you're most compromised, you're the most exposed. So when the pressure's on the most, mm-hmm. you're going to be the most exposed. So if you have errors, mm-hmm. and I mean mechanical errors, they're going to show up. They're going to fail. Glenn Watson has a terrible shot. James Palmer has a terrible shot. So now as their confidence erodes and as they get exposed more and more pressure, that mechanics that they have erode more and more and more. It happens the same in golf. You know, you can perfect something over and over and over, even if it's wrong. But all of a sudden you put some heat on you, you put some pressure, you're nervous, you're like
this. It's not just another putt.
No. So then all of a sudden those errors that you have become a little more exposed. So all of a sudden you start to error. You start to fail. So, man, the more you miss, the more pressure with a unorthodox, very not mechanically sound shot, it doesn't get better. It gets worse. So those work when pressure is less, feeling really good, things are going and making shots. And he hadn't made a shot. He made one shot in the last month.
He has. It's been rough for Glenn. He is still busting his butt defensively. He's trying to find it offensively. The thing that is, when you're talking about Miles and his future and just the roster construction, dipping into the top 100 or top 150 kids that are, I don't want to say recycled, but you get transfer kids, easier to get them on the second time around versus land a guy like James or Cope, a five-star out of high school, if you're Nebraska. They haven't done it. They it's hard to do. I get it. But your four-year guys have either transferred or hit a ceiling early, and you've had role changes for Glenn, freshman, sophomore. Got to make room for these transfer dudes. And what happens? He is a shadow of what he was, going for 31 in triple overtime as a sophomore.
Yeah.
Going off for 25 as a freshman. And that is almost as damning as a 7-game losing streak. Just what have your high-level recruits you brought in done throughout their career? Have they gotten better? Have they gotten worse? Have they stayed the same? And Glenn's performance and production have gotten worse. And that's something you're looking at and considering as an athletic director. You just are. Okay, say we want to keep the guy around another year because you know he loves his kids, he loves the program, and he has won. He's just underachieved at times. What's the faith like that it's going to get better and his guys will not only hit their ceiling but hit a monster peak?
Well, in year 7, it's not great.
Right.
I mean, because this is what Tim is at this point. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you can recruit pretty decent, but they're not going to develop very much once you get them here. And if you keep them here is the big thing. You've got to be able to keep them here because he hasn't been able to keep them here. My mic just doesn't want to stay in front of my mouth.
Well, we can do some adjustment.
I'll just hold it.
You're gonna have to hold it.
I'll just hold it. There's
trends. I mean, there's trends. If you look at his trends, has he gone from losing streaks like this, went through spells where all of a sudden, you know, they had expectations and they went the other way.
2014-15, they lost 9 in a row.
Well, when you were describing the, you know, when the pressure's on the most, the flaws and the mechanical stuff, that gets exposed. You could talk about that with this team on a macro level as well, because Jacob Bedil and I talk about this all the time. Last season, they were a feel-good story. Nobody expected them to be very good. They were just a good team. They were a good team that was exciting to watch, and they had a good player. This year, they had expectations, and so all the flaws with this team, they've all been exposed.
Yeah.
And they've all been kind of put under a microscope, so to speak. And all of those flaws are all things that have kind of been self-inflicted in the sense that they don't have a ton of depth, because they have guys that were going to need to be relied on this year that weren't developed properly or that didn't get better. And you're looking at guys like Nana Kenton and somebody like Tanner Borkart, so to speak. Like, they probably need him to be better than he even is, at least on the offensive end at this point.
Yeah.
And then you look at, I mean, Ed Morrow is gone, playing elsewhere.
Jacobson's killing it for Iowa State.
They could use Jordy Shimanga.
Yes, they could.
And they don't have those guys because they haven't stuck around. And so you're relying on five guys for 38, 39 minutes every single night. It's asking a lot, yeah. The guys' bodies are either going to break down or their games are going to break down, and we've seen both.
The thing, too, that is really hurting is, and I don't want to keep relying on this Cope excuse, but it is a reality. The thing with Copeland is he was the guy that was not afraid to ask for the basketball, and he would take and make the stop the bleeding shot.
Yeah, he was the worst injury you could have because he was the most consistent guy that could have kept the ship somewhat stable. You know, because again, I mean, he kind of knew where he was, what he could do, and he played to that, and he produced.
He's good.
He was the most consistent
producer. And he was vocal, and the leadership comment that Moose made on his radio show last night, someone needs to step up and be a leader, and we've talked about that for 6 weeks when they started kind of hitting the roller coaster. They need to have someone, and Glenn's senior upperclassman. He's been here since day one as a high school kid. Mm-hmm. He didn't come in as a transfer like James or Cope, so there's a little bit more ground floor that you need with your program and your culture. But with James, we got about 3 minutes here, well, less than a minute. We'll get to James Palmer Jr. and where he's at, but you just need that strong personality, and you can't fake it, and you can't manufacture it. It's kind of got to be innate.
I do think the other big problem with losing Copeland that doesn't get talked about enough, because this generally just doesn't get talked about enough, is they have lost their defensive identity.
Yeah.
Their defense in conference play and over this recent stretch has been a shadow of what it was to begin the season. They were committed to that end of the floor in the beginning of the season. They were committed to turning turnovers and missed shots into points in transition. They just haven't done that lately.
Derek Peterson and Mike Shuhart were here in the public market Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Wednesday. And we're down here in the public market ahead of Nebraska-Minnesota. Real Red tip-off gets rolling at 7. And a quick timeout. We'll wind down hour one. Just next to the ice rink. Think it opens up around 5 or so. If you're headed down this way ahead of Nebraska-Minnesota, come on by, grab a cold one, enjoy yourself. Papa Shot it's juiced up. We got a young one right now launching from 3. A little more Curry-like than Westbrook. We have Derek Peterson.
You talk about all the missed shots I had, and you don't actually pay attention to the ones that I make.
I just love giving you a bad time, brother.
I'm legitimately being treated like Russell Westbrook.
Right? There's no
focus
foul call.
Focus on the negatives. Don't focus on the positives.
Oh, I love Russ. Junior loves Russ, too. Uh-huh. Derek Peterson and Dr. PDHV. Mike Shuhart is here, Wilderness Ridge. Jeff Smith and Andy Markowski next hour. And we'll also get caught up from Tim Miles, Rick Pizzo, and thoughts on Minnesota. Shuey, we have Fit Fridays going on. Wilderness, tell me about it. Tell our golf friends what's going on.
How about that? So, I mean, you didn't think like much golf going on, but we've been working really hard.
We're getting close to March, thank the Lord.
We've been working on all of our programs. So we got our junior programs already going. So if you want to get in. Divot Dogs, they're already full.
They're the best.
Yeah, we filled them up. We got our junior league going.
We got a stud named Dylan.
Yep. Can't wait for Dylan, man. He's good.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. So we've been doing that. getting our programs ready. They're filling up fast, so if you want to get in, you better call because they are filling up quick. We got a new thing this year called Fit Friday. So every Friday in March, April, and May, we're going to be set up on the range. We're going to have our equipment out there so you can call, make an appointment, come out, and we'll give you kind of a fitting.
There maybe needs to be a Hail Varsity Road Show.
Oh, yeah.
4 to 6 on the deck like we used to kick it 15 years ago on the deck.
All right. Well, I'll make that happen.
That'll be good.
We'll make that happen.
We got you've been to Wilderness Ridge, the deck?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's where my wife and I had our reception.
Oh.
She tried to throw me off the
no,
deck.
Oh, why would she do that?
See if I can fly. But, no, it's good. So Fit Fridays, March.
Yeah.
Fridays from 3 to 6,
from
April.
3 to 6.
Friday 3 to 7, May, when it's beautiful. It's always beautiful.
3 to 7.
From 3 to 7. What did you think of Phil?
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
he likes that course. That's where he's from. That's an ageless wonder guy right there, man. He just keeps going. The ever ready bunny. You know? He played some nice golf. And there was some nasty weather there. So
yeah, it was messed up.
What was cool is that we had a local flavor there, Brady Schnell.
Yes.
So he played, made the cut, his highest finish ever in the PGA Tour. But he was playing because it's a pro-am. So his partner was Larry the Cable Guy.
And that's comforting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's comforting or not, but I'm sure they had a good time. They made the cut. They finished actually really good in the team part of it. Too.
Larry swings away well. He's a good golfer. You're pausing with me?
I guess that's relative term.
Well,
no,
you haven't seen me swing, actually. I think Larry's a good golfer.
So he's left-handed, so I guess they always have a little trouble.
That's pretty good. We will no doubt want to see you out there at Wilderness Ridge, March, April, May, Fit Fridays.
Come on out. We got Callaway, Mizuno, Titleist, Ping, Wilson. So,
oh, that swing will be so pretty.
Oh, yeah. Make the swing really good. Put some really good equipment in your hands.
It'll be good.
Life will be good.
So we have talked some college football. We have spent some time on Maurice Washington. We have got into who we would draft from the old Big Eight to be regulars on the Nebraska football schedule. We have spent time on Nebraska basketball and the sad truth that very few players have gotten better versus regressing. And I think it's time for us to go. Hour two coming up.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
It's hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Gorgeous Wednesday. Doesn't feel like February down here in the public market in the rail yard. Well ahead of Nebraska and Minnesota. We have Mike Shewhart sitting in, and we have Coach Jeff Smith on site. Love seeing you, Coach.
Yeah, great to be here,
And,
man.
Coach, good to see you. Shuey's hanging out. Big thanks to Derek Peterson. We kick off hour two with the Pride of Ord. We welcome in Andy Markowski to talk Nebraska, Minnesota. Andy, how are you?
Doing well, Schmitty. Is that the Jeff Smith?
That is the Jeff Smith, and he kind of grinned and said, "We've got Markowski stories for the next 20 minutes." What's your reaction?
I was pretty naive 18-year-old when Coach Smith had me, so he taught me well. So I wish I would have been able to play four more years with him.
Yeah, I know. I had to go recruit at Eastern before I got to see Andy through all the way through. But here's the Andy Markowski story, though. This is team camp, and we had like 96 teams at team camp. So Coach Knee had to make baskets to put outside. And we hear about this 6'7", 6'8", kid from Ord, you know. So I go referee his game on purpose because we're short of referees, of course, with that many teams. And here's this kid. I mean, he's running the floor, dunking the ball a couple times, pulls up, hits some jumpers, great defender. Rebounds everything. I finish the game. I run into Coach Bargan and Coach Knee and say, you guys got to watch this kid's next game. I mean, he's long. He's athletic. Because we hadn't seen him. Coach Bargan goes out and do we offer you that weekend? Or it was close, I think. They got excited.
Yeah,
about
that,
Andy.
That, Yeah,
and
that
I also remember.
The
I remember
Valentino's.
Calling you Andy at the movie theater. I think you worked at the movie theater, right? And I
well,
called you sometimes
it,
at the movie
so
theater.
I don't.
In
yeah.
Oregon. Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
Andy, how was the gig as a movie theater? How was that? That sounds fun.
It wasn't a great gig. My parents owned so they owned the drive-in movie theater in North Loop, which was a town about 10 miles outside of Ord. And then they also owned the movie theater in Ord. So that wasn't really a job. It was kind of a, I was made to work concessions and projectors, from when I was 9 or 10 years old. But, back in Ord, Nebraska, there was a movie once a night on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was a really good movie. We ran it through Tuesday, so it wasn't like it was an all-day event. So,
Andy Markowski, Jeff Smith, Mike Shuhart, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio, in front of Nebraska, Minnesota, here in the public market. Well, this is awesome to get you guys connected and have Shuey here to talk Nebraska, Minnesota. We'll get into Minnesota and Nebraska here, Andy and Coach Smith. You guys both were part of the Nebraska golden era with multiple tournament runs, an NIT championship, a Big Eight championship in the postseason, guys that went to the league, guys that started and succeeded and finished their careers on high notes where they got better each year. I want to spend a little bit of time here on Nebraska and specifically this job. It's been a topic of conversation. It's not just, okay, if you have to make a decision, who do you go get? I want to spend a little bit of time on the reality of what's fact or what's fiction about the Nebraska job. Andy, you've coached in college basketball. Coach Smith, obviously you've coached in college basketball and at the high school level, at an elite level. So what is true about the Nebraska job when it comes to looking at candidates, their consideration, and just the attractiveness? Facilities, yes. City, yes. University, yes. And yes, league. But just the likelihood of the no's you're going to get. Coach Smith, I'll let Andy start and then follow up.
Well, but bottom line, Schmitty, is this is a job that you can win at. I've never, made an excuse for, people that we don't have this or we don't have that. Bottom line is you can win at Nebraska. You can win at a level that can meet fan expectation, which is to get to the tournament 3 out of every 5 years. Certainly it's been disappointing to not have won a tournament game. We certainly have had teams capable of doing that. Is there inherent disadvantages with this job? Yes, and that's the fact that you don't live in an area that produces a lot of players. But when you truly get kids on campus and you let them experience, what Nebraska can do for them, what the facilities, what the fan support is, playing in the Big Ten, I'm not going to apologize and defend people that say that this isn't a good job or you can't win at Nebraska, because I believe you can win at a higher enough level. And we haven't done it. We haven't done it since, the 90s, and that's unfortunate. But I don't think it's the program as much as, much as I like Coach Miles and I like, Coach Sadler, and I think Barry Collier was a stand-up guy. We have not had the right equation, and that starts with coaching to win at a level that I think you can win at Nebraska.
I agree. I totally agree with you, Andy. I believe you can win here. I was watching Kansas State last night.
Weber's been money.
But what does Kansas State have that Nebraska does? A little tradition, maybe a little tournament tradition. But I think Nebraska can win. We used to sell, when we were in the Big Eight, we used to sell kids that we were in the biggest city in the Big Eight. You think about Ames. You think about Norman. Mm-hmm. You think about Stillwater. You think about Lawrence. We were the biggest city in the Big Eight. We're not a bad city to come to and have a great college experience. And kids are traveling. Kids are going to Atlanta for AAU in high school. So what? It's national these days. Now, do you have to luck out and get a few recruits, maybe a kid that's going to develop, maybe a kid that's, a little bit under a five-star, and he's going to end up being a four-star or five-star? Yeah, you have to be a little lucky. We were lucky when I was here because we had Andy Markowski's and Bruce Chubbicks and Eric Strickland's and those guys and Rich King's and those guys.
Get homegrown kids.
You bet. And that's going to happen again sometimes. We're going to get some kids.
But it's cyclical, right?
It is cyclical, but you've got to go find kids. You've got to turn over rocks and you've got to find kids. And You know, there's Tyronn Lue's over in Missouri. There's kids in St. Louis. I think Chicago should be a hotbed for Nebraska basketball, and it has been, really, with going back to Carl Hayes. Mm-hmm. I think you can win at Nebraska, no doubt.
There's enough kids in Chicago to satisfy a lot of folks if you can make the connection, get him here and develop. And that's what happened day one with Miles when you get a guy like a Glenn Watson. And I want to go to you, Andy, and then Coach Smith, jump in. Shu, if you want to pipe in too, go for it. Andy, why do you think Glenn has not been the Glenn of freshman, sophomore year? I know his role has changed, but how do you believe that role has affected him on offense? He's still been a standout, a hustler defensively, but he's not been going for 30. He did go for 18 against Ohio State, but he's had just a brutal, brutal February. Why is Glenn struggling so much, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's one that has been puzzling because I know the work that Glenn is putting in. You know, there was rumors a couple years ago that, you know, Glenn was going to defect and transfer when Jacobson and Morrow was leaving. And, you know, he basically came out and said, you know, no, you know, this is where I want to be. Yeah, this is the team that I want to lead. Yeah, I want to, you know, lead us to an NCAA tournament. And, you know, certainly had not a great junior year, you know, put in even more work going into his senior year. And you just feel for a kid like that I think has the talent to have played better, to shoot better, to, you know, maybe play with more confidence. You know, certainly, you know, putting maybe a couple more pieces around him or a true five where you can run some more on-ball stuff for Glenn and get him in the lane and try to get him more 15-footers versus, you know, threes, which I don't think Glenn's a great three-point shooter. I think his mid-range game is his strength, and it doesn't appear that he can get enough of those opportunities. And I think part of that is, you know, just limited, you know, pieces that Tim can play alongside of him that has hurt Glenn. But, you know, I thought he was going to have a big senior year. I thought he would be the main reason why Nebraska had a really good year, and I think he's probably one of the reasons why they've struggled, is he has not shot it well enough to lead them to victories in some close games.
Yeah, I think you guys were talking earlier about mechanics, and I would totally agree with some of it's mechanical because his shot is inconsistent. Now it's probably between his ears a little bit too, but I was watching him in warm-ups last home game. He gets his shooting hand clear on top of the ball. Which is not great, and you're never getting it set on a good platform. And you know, there's some mechanical things. And his feet aren't always the same either. We talked about that a year ago. And I thought at the start of the year his feet were better. He was more consistent with his base and everything. But then you start thinking too much, like you said. And I think, Coach Shuhart, you were right, too, when you talk about when pressure comes and when, you know, it's just like a baseball player that it's hitting really well, but then he signs that big contract, and all of a sudden the pressure's different to hit that 300 again, and it's harder to do because everybody's watching. You're putting pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, these guys are putting a lot of pressure on themselves, so it's amplified. Everything's amplified, like Coach was talking about, and it's just like he can't go back to his base of fundamentals because they're not there right now. So good things are going to happen for him, and I'm like Andy. He's a mid-range pull-up guy. That's what he is. That's his strength. And if we can get him some more opportunity, but like you said, there's not Antoine Gill around him. There's not Evan Taylor around.
It's not help.
There's not McVay spotting up in the corner. Mm-hmm. There's not Jordy taking a guy in the post and just occupying a guy, so the floor's not spread as well, and so that limits his game a little bit.
It's Jeff Smith, Chris Schmidt, Mike Shuhart, Andy Markowski with us, Hale Varsity Radio, down here in the public market, just to the right of the ice skating rink. We're in the rail yard ahead of Nebraska, Minnesota. Real Red Tip-Off gets going at 6, an extended show tonight. Andy, I want to go back to the coaching discussion. I love your guys' takes because you lived it, that you can win here. It's been proven. What was so different about Knee compared to the guys that followed Knee? How did he get it done? And he reloaded. I mean, it was a really, really good Big 8, and it was a good Big 12. What made Danny that game changer compared to the guys who followed him? Why was Danny so successful, Andy, and then Coach?
Well, you alluded to it. I mean, there was – you look at the rosters in the 90s, and it wasn't one or two or three talented players. I mean, we had 8, 9, 10, you know, some of those teams, the 91 team, I mean, they were 10 or 11 deep with names that you still recognize as talented players. So certainly the recruiting was you know better then. There was more talent, and I think you know. And this is something to look at. Is Tim has had a lot of people transfer, and you know some turnover with coaching staffs. You know, I felt you know when Gary and Jeff were at Nebraska. There was more stability, and if you look at Danny's last 3 years, he had that same turnover with coaching staffs, and I've almost felt like that's happened to Tim. You know, he lost Craig, and they lost Kenya, and it just appears that he's lost some of those good assistants, and I thought that was the beginning of the end in Danny, and looking back at that time, and I think, you know, you could maybe trace some of that to Tim. So, you know, recruiting good players and keeping a staff that can connect to the kids and making sure they stay in the program is key.
Yeah, the other thing that Danny was just relentless on, and it was a team. Gary Bargan was a great recruiter. Lynn Mitchum mm-hmm. was Jimmy Williams, just really good recruiters and identifiers first. But Danny would always come in the office. We got to have three pros. We have to have three pros on our team if we ever are going to have a chance to win a Big 8 championship. And at this level, the Big 10 level, the Big 12 level, you have to have two or three pros on your team.
And it looks like you do.
Yeah.
Fringe. I mean, guys that'll get a look, yeah. But they're better than the alternative of not having three pros or
not
three options.
Not first rounders. But,
right,
you know,
right. There's no Lou.
Maybe overseas, yeah. But, you know, you look back at those teams and NCAA team, and you look at most NCAA teams, they're going to have two or three pros on their team that guys are going to play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of that's just, again, beating the bushes and identifying and developing. And we were lucky because we were the pre-transfer era. You know, we're in the transfer era now. I don't know some of those guys. Andre Woolridge was a big transfer back then. That was big news that a guy was going to transfer. Well, that's half the team now. So I don't know if you're ever going to have teams with the kind of depth we had back then. And then I think, you know, that creates when you're in a down cycle and you only have two or three guys trying to pull out of a down cycle or they're in a down cycle themselves – you don't have two or three guys coming off the bench that can you know, take a game over.
Stabilize it.
Yeah. So it makes it tough.
Eddie, about a minute and a half here before we let you go. Thanks for jumping on. We will have Andy's movie review next time we talk. I need to know how Nebraska gets it done tonight, and do you think they get it done tonight against Minnesota? What are a couple of keys?
Well, the number one key is rebounding. They have to, you know, they're not going to out-rebound Minnesota, but, you know, if they give up, you know, plus 12 to 15 with six or seven of those being offensive rebound putbacks, they're going to struggle scoring enough to beat a very physical Minnesota team. You know, they need to stay out of foul trouble. You know, certainly I don't know if Hawkinson is going to play, you know, which even hurts their depth even more, but you know, it comes down to them making 8 to 10 threes and trying to neutralize Minnesota on the backboard. And if they can do those things, I think they have a good chance to maybe putting a couple wins together in a row as the schedule does get a touch easier in what has been a brutal Big Ten slate.
It has been. Next time, too, Andy, it'll be Jeff Smith story time. We'll let you tell a story or two on Coach. How was he, about 30 seconds, how was Coach Smith as a referee that night?
Yeah, I don't. I do remember playing outside because I actually thought it was pretty cool to come to a team camp. But I don't know if our coaches thought it was real cool to pay.
I gave him all the calls. That's part of recruiting, right?
That's right.
It worked out. Yeah,
he's really good. Well. He got the line like 20 times that night.
It's pretty good. Eddie Markowski, follow him on Twitter at Markowski. Andy is where you follow him. Husker standout, the pride of Ord. Andy, thanks for the time today, bud.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Good talking to you.
Anyways, that was good. Eddie Markowski, that was nice. Jeff Smith is down here. Real Red Tip-Off Show gets rolling. Mike Shuhard, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity continues in front of Nebraska, Minnesota, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, we've got Tex down here shooting jumpers right now. It's good to see him. Papa Shot is here. Real Red Tip-Off gets rocking at 6, an extended Hail Varsity till 7:30. Jeff Smith, the coach, is here, the Hall of Famer. Mike Shewhart, the coach, our Hall of Famer and Hall of Famer. So I'm in good air right now, man.
Yeah, love a Hall of Fame around.
I still want to talk golf, though. Flag stick in, flag stick out.
Okay,
that's my big thing.
Last thought here with Nebraska basketball,
oh, yeah.
Coach.
Oh, yeah, we got a game tonight.
we got to talk Nebraska, Minnesota. Sure. First, and I want to go back to this because you've got presumably feelers out. If I'm Tim Miles, I'm looking at jobs that may be available because my contract's just a year.
Probably have an agent working for you. Yep.
Yep. And so I'm there. If I'm Bill Moose, I can support my guy and be there for him and not hover. But I've got to make a decision if this thing continues to take on water.
Which 99% of the athletic directors are probably going to do.
Right. So you have a head coach and you have an athletic director and eyes are wondering how tough a sell. Let's role play for a second. Hi, Bill Moose. Great to see you. Bill, you're awesome. What's up? Well, Mr. Altman. Tyronn Lue. Hey, let's stop and check here, Mayor. Love the nickname, the Mayor. Those are the three names Nebraska fans, like, the hair on the back of their neck stands up for. And how hard a sell is this job? And do you keep Tim if you can't get the guy you want?
That last question's a tough one. I can't answer that. That's Bill Moose and his, you know, mm-hmm. He's the selection committee, and he's the – I can't answer that one. Because is Tim going to be – is Tim going to be fired up about being here and you know,
and he can't be fired, like a lame duck.
Yeah.
He can't be fired up about being here the last 2 years, or let's expand it, 3 years, because right. There's not been a big commitment. There's always been this, well, good job, or we'll keep you, but go prove it.
Yeah, the three names you mentioned all have ties, so that's probably an advantage. If any of those guys would mm-hmm. be interested, that would be an advantage, because you have some ties that they've been here, or you know, Jerry Bush was here for
sure.
Fred Hoiberg, but mm-hmm. Do you go look for – we've done a lot of mid-major stuff, you know.
A lot.
Or do you go and look for – and again, I love Tim. Mm-hmm. I hope Tim – I hope they can win the rest of their games, and I think we're going to win tonight. I love Tim. Mm-hmm. I hate speculating like this, but do you go and look at some benches of the programs that have – you know, been in the NCAA tournament consistently and won some
blue bloods.
Yeah, and get some – look at some assistant coaches.
Would they listen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you're willing to listen to Marquette, you're going to listen to Nebraska. You're in one of the best leagues in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You walk them through our facilities.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to listen. If you want to be a head coach,
and that's what they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, this would be a good first job from a – top-tier program to come to this as a first-year head coach?
An assistant
yes.
jump, right?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe that's a direction that, you know, Bill Moose is thinking about. I don't, who knows? But
yeah,
but it's a possibility, obviously. And like I said, I think both sides have to take care of themselves
mm-hmm.
and look and protect themselves and set themselves up, but let's hope this works too, you know?
Sure. I mean, that's the other thing is from, you know, you had a reverse hot seat listing on ESPN yesterday and little Patino's on it, of course. You have Miles on there and you've got this investment that has occurred down here. You've got an insane facility. You've got the rail yard. We're down here in the rail yard. It's a lot of fun. It's going to get cranked up here. Even as the spirit and the mood has dwindled a bit because Nebraska's hit a wall, people are going to be down here with friends and family and enjoying it, man. And when Nebraska's happen, when it's no-sit Sunday, when it's winning 9 out of 10 last year and getting snubbed, even when Iowa comes to town here later in the year or when Sparty was here elbow to elbow or when Creighton's here, people want this place to rock. They want it to be good. They like Miles. They're just – I think they're out of hope in some instances because if you can't do it with this roster, can you ever do it? And that's kind of where it's at. It's a road of the bit. There's frustration. And offensively, that's like the biggest ailment right now is what are you running on offense?
Yeah, we are starved. We are starved as fans to get in the NCAA tournament. And
I'll take the blame and do damage.
I can take the blame against Xavier. We had a play.
Hold on a minute. Tyrone Hill went off. Not your fault.
Yes, but we had a play. We knew they were going to be zoned. We had the ball down two with, I think there was 15 seconds left. So we run a little play. I helped draw it up because it was one of our specials against the zone. And it was a backside flare screen and skip pass. And they picked it off. And my last thing out of the huddle was, take a look at if you think they're going to slip that screen and fight over the top or anticipate, look at Carl Hayes slipping in the lane, and we didn't get it to him. And
who turned it over?
Dunked the ball. I don't know. I'm not telling. I did.
Yeah.
It was my fault. But I'll always wonder what would have happened if we would have won that first NCAA tournament game. What would Nebraska basketball be now? But can we get there? And I think we can. It's going to take the right combination of a coaching staff and you know, we got to get some bigs back in here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're starving for bigs, too, besides NCAA tournaments. And you look at every team in the Big Ten, most of them have a big that changes shots, that, you know, dominates the boards at times, that can get you a bucket down on the block when you need it. And we need that, you know. I don't know if Jordy was that guy or not, but we need that.
He Jordy, you could throw it in. He had the left-hand hook, and he could bang down low.
He could bang, yeah.
That was good. You know, I remember being at the lunch table in sixth grade after working my folks to let me stay up and watch that late tip-off for the 91 team against Xavier and just being just pissed. Again, a-hole 12-year-old fan,
yeah.
Not even close to as PO'd as you guys, but – I always wanted to, you know, ask Pete Gillen where he kept his pot of gold, you know, and what a year Xavier had, and yeah. I think Sweet 16 squad. But Jeff Smith is here, Coach Mike Shewhart, Hale Varsity on the road here in the public market. All right, let's get a thought here on, before we hit golf, give me a thought on what Nebraska can do against Minnesota. Murphy went nuts. Last time,
Coffee went off for 32.
Did something he doesn't normally do.
27 right. Free throws between the two guys.
Yeah, I think and they the had biggest, 32 total free throws.
Yeah, and the biggest punch to the gut was the fact that you were up 15, ready to bury them.
Yeah, I think number one defensively, we've got to protect the paint, and like Andy said, we can't foul them all. We can't let them have easy points at the line. We've got to. They only shoot 30% from the 3-point line as a team. So we've got to make them shoot contested jumpers. And that's the goal of this staff anyways, mm-hmm. kind of run them off the line, make them shoot twos that are contested. And we've got to do that, protect the paint. And then it comes down to defensive rebounding, not let them have seconds, because we know seconds are probably 30% higher shot than your first one. So we got to take that away. Offensively, I like fast pace. I like fast pace for this
team. They look good against Purdue. They got out and ran a little.
I have a tough time when we walk it up even after made. I know, and this staff likes sets. They like some of the pro-type sets, the on-balls and some ISOs. I love it when Glenn and I love it when James is running the right wing and Glenn's pushing the ball. And if we can get it up to James, he's great on the right side of the floor in the open floor. And then I think Glenn, if he pushes it to the free throw line, can make some things happen. And then your bigs are Roby's running the floor, you know, and that's how I like to see us initiate. And then you go into some of your on ball. The problem with I love Tanner Borkhart. Gothenburg's got a great golf course too, right?
Coach Shewhart? They do.
But when he doesn't pick and pop like Copeland could, so he's a non-threat. And I know you've talked about that on the show this mm-hmm. week. He's good screen setter, but to roll and catch and score, he has a little trouble. He can't pick and pop. So they can double whoever.
He's just not a threat. You're playing four on five offensively.
Right. I was even thinking the other day, what would happen if Nana played the four and Roby the five, and at least you got it. Nana
got
can rebound with anybody, and you got another threat. But you're talking rewind and reset your offense a little bit. But I think we got to attack and try to get a couple easy buckets and get on the glass and move the ball quick when we get in half court and shoot more foul shots than they do at home.
That'd be great. That's Jeff Smith, Mike Shewhart. 3 minutes here. A jock doc is coming up. Go golf nuts here. You're heading to Scotland this summer?
Yeah, I got to Scotland.
Talk to Shuey because Shuey knows Scotland.
Yeah, we're gonna go. My son got us some tee times at the old course, so we're going to go play the old course and King's Barn and Carnoustie, which will kick my booty because my handicap's not like yours, Coach Shewhart. But, yeah, we're really looking forward to that trip.
You'll have a fantastic time. A little different golf over there than you used to over here. You better keep the ball a little more on the ground over there than in the air like over here. So, but you'll love it, man. Those golf courses are fantastic. Carnoustie is just... It is one of a kind.
Yeah, yeah. So. I'm not going to have high expectations going into Carnoustie.
You'll just enjoy, won't you?
Yeah,
you'll love it. You'll love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun. My son kind of works in that industry of setting up golf trips. So
nice.
We're going to go play five different courses.
Five beauties right there.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Looking forward to it. But yeah, we were talking off air about that flag in, flag out thing, it's interesting to watch on TV. More of these pros are doing that than I thought would this early in the with the rule change, and kind of interesting.
Yeah, and just more studies are coming out with it. More studies, and the latest study that's out, they said 33% more of your putts will go in with the flag stick in, and it's like, really? So
think about off the green. When I always leave it in if I'm off. Sure. Used to leave it in when you could, and think about how many bang that flag stick and drop in.
That's
it does make sense. It really does, but. That's interesting to watch.
That's that Bryson DeChambeau, man. That guy is always studying and doing analytical stuff and figuring out.
Is he kind of the cutting edge guy?
He's incredible. He was practicing one day, and it was supposed to rain the next day, so he's out practicing. His caddy was pouring water on his golf ball to see how the ball was going to react when there's water on it. That's how into it that guy is, you know? And they have launch monitors now that they all really use. So he's hitting shots, and he's starting to see with water on his golf ball what's going to happen, how does it affect the golf ball flight, spin, things like that. And he adjusts to that because the next day it did rain, so he felt more prepared.
I thought it was interesting in Pebble Beach last week, and they were talking about guys doing – they have their 10 o'clock, 11 – 9, 10, and 11 o'clock swings.
Uh-huh.
And that was something I hadn't heard. That was interesting, too.
Yeah.
Shuey? Good to see you.
Always.
Coach, hang tight. Chewy, you hang tight. We got to step away for a jock doc. We caught up with Lincoln Orthopedic Center. We'll wind down hour two, and then the tip-off show gets rolling at 6. Nebraska, Minnesota down here in the public market, the rail yard with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis has got his baseball hat on already. Dr. Doug, how are you?
Doing great. You know, we got the Super Bowl done. You know, for us old guys, seeing an old guy win again was good. And now we're on to baseball.
That old guy wins all the time, but it's okay because they just do it better than you, and you have to appreciate how they go about their business.
It's really kind of unbelievable. We talk about that all day. We got to talk about baseball.
No, I know. And Francisco Lindor, amazing shortstop for Cleveland. He's a guy that, listen, if you're into fantasy baseball, you love and. If you're a Cleveland fan, and I somehow know a lot of Cleveland fans, he's 25 years old. He's coming off an injury last weekend, and he's got some soreness lingering here. Kind of break out what Lindor's been dealing with here, Dr. Doug.
Well, you know, it's early in the whole, the whole thing here with spring training just kind of getting going, and these guys, you know, the guys that are coming in early. And he's got himself a calf strain, according to the information that's out there about him. But the thing that's a little bit unusual is just, you know, that they've got him sidelined here for probably on the order of 7 or 8 weeks, which a little longer than what I would maybe expect with a calf strain.
Yeah, that does seem a while. Typically, how long does a calf strain last?
You know, most of the time with a guy who's as well conditioned as what he is, 3 weeks, maybe four, to get back on a pretty high level of athletic activity. Even, you know, us weekend warriors can expect that, you know, 3-4 weeks we'd be feeling, you know, good enough to do most of the stuff we do, maybe not play, but a guy in that kind of condition going into it, I'd expect him to come back. You know, it could just be that they're just trying to keep him out a little bit more on the front end, and then really getting him rehab to get through the rest of the season.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Francisco Lindor, the talented shortstop for Cleveland, out 7 weeks with that calf strain. So with his game, I mean, he's got power, he's got speed, he has the ability to get down the line, but defensively the guy is phenomenal, and he is so rangy. And let's spend some time here on the calf strain and then the wear and tear that defensively that shortstop spot puts on his calf.
Yeah, so this injury is like a lot of those muscle tendon injuries that we talk about, in that the majority of the time these injuries happen when the muscle is being lengthened by some kind of a load, and then it's also trying to contract at the same time. So imagine him trying to get to a ball far off to his right side or left side, and he plants that that leg, and as he plants, he's already trying to power forward, but there's that stretching of that muscle that occurs right at that point. And that's how those injuries occur, right at the muscle tendon junction. So with the kind of game that he has defensively, he's loading that calf in that kind of a manner very routinely. I mean, that's just part of every day for that guy. And so it's a scenario where it would really affect him defensively if he couldn't have that kind of a load. So that may be the bigger issue for him, than maybe even on the offensive side.
Does this knock down what Cleveland may have in mind for him when it comes to stealing bases? I know he had a career high 25 last year. Do they want to keep an eye on that just because of this spring training injury?
Yeah, I would bet that they're going to not be as aggressive with him. That first step, that first really hard step is going to be the thing that could re-injure him. And that's one place where, early in the season, yeah, everybody wants to win games. You're going to do whatever you can do to win games. But they're going to need him to be really good in the later part of the year. I would imagine you'll see him being used less on the base paths in terms of the steals.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Francisco Lindor. 7 weeks for a calf strain. And Lindor last year, 38 bombs, 92 runs knocked in, just shy of 280.
Just unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, he's incredible. And he's a guy that he's a leader, man. He's so good. Power numbers. Let's talk about the effect a strained calf can have on your power numbers and also your confidence when you're at the dish. I mean, just worrying about maybe re-injuring or tweaking, can this affect what he wants to do with that power number, that power swing?
Yeah, so the bigger issue probably is going to be, is it a double or is it a triple? He's got so much power that he's going to get his home runs, and that part of it I think is not going to be as challenged by this injury. But because he's got that power, he's also getting extra bases, doubles and triples, and for him to stretch that double to a triple, that's going to be the thing that this injury may affect. So you may end up seeing some of those numbers change a little bit for him. I think he's still going to produce incredibly offensively, but there may be just a little bit of a tweak in that.
When it comes to not only those tweaks you're talking about, but what are some preventative exercises, maintenance, stretching? Go down the list what he's being talked to about right now, and they're being precautious with 7 weeks on this calf strain for Francisco Lindor. But moving forward in the season, what can he do day to day to make sure his calves are okay?
And the kind of the old philosophy of this is that, it would be stretch, 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 stretch. And that's certainly part of what you're doing preventatively with these injuries. But especially when you're coming back from injury, you also have to, as the muscle tendon junction heals up, you have to start adding back strength and power to the muscle in order to prevent injury again. And I think that's one of the places where we run into problems, because we get to a point where we're stretching well, we're feeling comfortable, we start, we're running, that's doing okay, but we may not emphasize that strength part of it as much in the rehab, because, you know, once you start feeling good, you want to be back out there, you know, and strength takes time. May not emphasize that strength part of it as much in the rehab, because, you know, once you start feeling good, you want to be back out there, you know, and strength takes time to build back up. It isn't just something that as soon as you start feeling better, you got that strength back. So that's probably the single biggest thing, is that he gives himself an adequate time to rebuild that strength coming into it. Same thing's true for any of us that get injured, with a hamstring strain or with a shoulder strain or something like that. You know, you can't just start back into it until you build that strength back up, even though the hamstring injury might feel better at that point.
Dr. Doug Davis, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. Dr. Doug, thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, enjoy the baseball coming up here.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Getting the evil look from Coach Smith. Turn me on, turn me on, turn me on. We're turned on. We're down here.
We're good.
At the
ice skaters are skating.
They are. The rail yard's where we're at. Real Red tip-off gets rocking here in 5 minutes as we're ahead of Nebraska, Minnesota. It's phenomenal outside. It's February 13th, and you are able to wear a sweater and be good. So, man.
And Nebraska's going to give us a good Valentine's Day gift.
They will, man. And I remember, what was the
I do like how positive Coach Miles has been, and you know, the psychology of the coaching and you know, encouraging, and
you gotta be.
Yeah, you do.
Hard to do, but
it is.
Gotta do it. Part of the job.
Yep. Yep. Let's hope that pays off and we get out of our funk.
You know, you look at a 7-game skid, you look at this league, and Coach, a little bit after 6, we'll get into this Big Ten, and you've seen kind of the heyday of the Big Eight. You saw how good the Big 12 was. You now look at the Big Ten, and we'll kind of dive into just what this league is and how murderous it is to one another. That is coming up. We will have comments from Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. Pizzo was with us yesterday. We'll hear from Tim Miles. Coach Miles is going to his comments last night after practice. So that is there. We may have a little more Andy Markowski magic from hour two, and we want to see you down here. If you're coming down for dinner, for a drink, just getting set up for Nebraska, Minnesota, you're always welcome. Diane is here. She's wearing her red, which is nice. Tex is contemplating another margarita. Excuse me, beer-rita, as he has that.
Wondered what that was.
See, I like the beer-rita, where you can get them in town. And you got the little mini Corona bottle, so you don't feel so awful about yourself. And then if you go, I don't know. I get like my wife and kid just bash me anyway, so it is what it is. But I like blended margaritas. Some will like snigh at me and say, "Well, where's your umbrella, son, for the drink?" But blended margarita rocks are good, but blended margaritas are good where we get them.
I'm a little more on the rocks with salt.
Okay.
Guy.
I like the salt.
Yeah.
But see, now you're just like moving away from me. You're like, oh, he's a blended.
Hey, it's whatever you like, man. It's
right.
Whatever you like.
You give me a Dos Equis or a Corona or
there
whatever, and we're good. But
Guinness. Yeah.
See, yeah. Nice call on that. 'tis the season for that coming up. But we are almost out of time here for Hail Varsity. Real Red Tip-Off will get rolling. Jeff Smith is kind enough to be with us, Hall of Fame coach and longtime assistant at Nebraska. And we've spent a lot of time talking Miles, Nebraska, and just how this team can kind of get things figured out. If you're headed down here to get a bite and a drink, come see us and just check your jump shot out when it comes to the Papa Shot machine. A quick timeout, and we'll be back for the Real Red Tip-Off, 6 to 7:30, down here in the public market just next to the ice rink with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.